Well, at the centre of the WikiLeaks debate are some core issues for democracy, like the right to know versus the need for nations to speak with confidentiality. James Rubin says the essential tool of State Department diplomacy is trust between US officials and their foreign counterparts. Destroying confidentiality, he says, means destroying diplomacy. James Rubin is a former US diplomat. He also served as chief spokesperson for the US State Department in the Clinton administration. These days, he's adjunct professor at Columbia University School of International Public Affairs, and he joins you now from New York. James Rubin, welcome back to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Nice to be with you.
James, what worries you most about these leaks?
What worries me is that this is undifferentiated. There's not as if one particular policy was deemed so troubling or information about it was so urgent that it justified breaking the confidentiality of diplomatic exchanges. This is all the policies, all the cables from all of the embassies all over the world for a given period of time. So in our democracies, yes, there are times when the public's right to know is a principle that is higher than the confidentiality of documents. The obvious example from the 70s was the so-called Pentagon Papers, which were secret, published by the New York Times and the Washington Post, because they demonstrated a government that was misrepresenting the war in Vietnam in a fundamental way. So that issue was a higher principle than the principle of secrecy. In this case, there is no higher principle. The WikiLeaks received stolen documents, and because they have their own worldview that is hard to discern exactly, but presumably an anti-American worldview, because by releasing these documents, every single diplomatic exchange around the world of 180 countries where the United States operates has been jeopardized.
Yes, but James, can I interrupt you there? And you say it's an anti-American worldview. Could it not just be a worldview that is about better transparency? I mean, it was the U.S. president himself when he took office who said every department should know this administration stands on the side not of those who seek to withhold information, but those who seek to make it known. Is WikiLeaks a website to make information known?
No, WikiLeaks is a website that is not discriminating between cases where there really might be a need for secrecy. I heard you have a discussion with P.J. Crowley as the current spokesman. He can't get into details, but I can. And let's say, as we see in these cables, there are some governments who are not willing to admit publicly that the United States is acting in their country to destroy a terrorist cell. The country in mind I have in mind is Yemen. Now, that this exchange between the Yemen president and the U.S. official has been broken, it's possible that the next time a terrorist cell, an Al-Qaeda cell, like the one that killed Australians in Bali or killed Americans in 9/11, won't be able to be attacked in time before they can act. So there are specific dangers. And yes, as I said, there are times when the public's right to know and transparency is a good thing. But those have to be weighed against other principles. There was no weighing here. The only weighing that was going on was how much can I disclose of all this information that I've received that was stolen information because of a desire to weaken American foreign policy.
But the difficulty for some people comes then about who's weighing the evidence and who makes these decisions. And some things, there's plenty of evidence of information being withheld that shouldn't have been withheld. And for instance, the abuse within Abu Ghraib is a perfect example of that.
Exactly, and that's exactly the point that I'm making, is that there are cases when the Abu Ghraib abuse was uncovered by great journalism, not stolen documents or anything like that. This isn't great journalism, this is stolen documents. But in the case of Abu Ghraib, there was a higher principle at stake, the fact that the U.S. government should not be involved in the abuse of prisoners. So secret information was made public. What I'm saying to you is by releasing 250,000 documents that apply to every policy of the United States, what we've learned here so far is not any abuse by the U.S. government, not any action inconsistent with what it says publicly, saying something different privately. On the contrary, what we're seeing is American diplomats going about their job of finding information out, pursuing nonproliferation, pursuing anti-terrorism, and doing their job. So that issue is going on in behind the scenes. That's the job of diplomats. Now, instead of that being able to continue by leaking all these documents, not to uncover an abuse, not to find out about an Abu Ghraib, but just to harm the diplomatic process. That's exactly my point.
Just can I read you one cable in terms of that issue of saying one thing differently privately and publicly, not so much about the U.S. in this case, posted in the last 12 hours. It's from 2007. It's a briefing note for the Swedish Prime Minister about a visit to Washington. And part of the note goes to Sweden's cooperation with the U.S. on counterterrorism. And it says, and I quote, "Due to domestic political considerations, the extent of this cooperation is not widely known within the Swedish government, and it would be useful to acknowledge this cooperation privately, as public mention of the cooperation would open up the government to domestic criticism." Now, that's about a basic right to know of Swedish citizens, isn't it?
Well, right, but this isn't the Swedish government documents. These are U.S. government documents. And so, being that the United States respects Sweden as a separate country, or respects Australia as a separate country, or France, or any of the other countries that are involved here, we allow their government to use their own system to determine what the appropriate level of information is. We're not going to impose our values on them. So if they've asked that government, freely elected in a democracy, to keep certain information private, it's not up to us to make that information public. So the point again is the United States government is being shown in these cables to be doing the job that Americans and, frankly, people around the world would expect. But that job has been harmed. The cause of peace has been harmed. Diplomacy, by and large, is an effort to avoid conflicts or to prevent conflicts from starting. Now, all over the world, in embassy after embassy, across the countries, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of hours are going to be spent repairing the damage done by WikiLeaks to diplomacy.
Now, we have to wind up here, but just one point that you make in an article you've written is that you say, what if these leaks included cables quoting the players involved in the Middle East peace process? So far, they haven't. Are you worried that they will, and what's your concern?
Well, my concern is that I believe in peace in the Middle East, and I know from having participated in such discussions that sometimes peace agreements need to be first negotiated in private without the glare of publicity so that the extremists on both sides can't stop the peace process. And so if that were happening in public, we wouldn't get any peace agreements. Now, luckily, I think the U.S. Special Envoy for Middle East Peace created a special private reporting channel that's separate from all these diplomatic cables we're reading, and that has been able to be kept secret. And I suspect if it were in this batch, we would have read about it or heard about it already. So luckily for those who are interested in peace, the reporting is different, and we're not having all that exposed to the public, again, for no higher purpose.
James Rubin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
James Rubin is a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs with the Clinton administration. It's 8:21 on RM Breakfast.